Some of y'all were talking about, couldn't remember something, I think from last week or something y'all had done earlier, and I was thinking, well, you know, it's bad when people lose their memory like that. And I was sitting back there and got thinking, now, did I turn that recorder on behind us or not? And so I decided I needed to go look there very quickly and make sure I have that one on. But if you would, tonight, open your Bibles to Leviticus. Leviticus, the 10th chapter, we're going to look at an event that happened. I mentioned a while back that we had decided on Wednesday nights to kind of skip some of the books of the first five books. We went from Genesis all the way to Joshua. And so kind of looking just at those books we skipped there, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that we want to look in Exodus, that we want to look at one particular situation in the book of Leviticus. And that deals with, in Leviticus 10th chapter. And there are times you look at people in the Bible or maybe the nation of Israel as a whole, and you'll see that there are peaks and valleys. There are times where it seems like that they hit a high point of great faith and great reliance on God. And almost immediately after that, they kind of go down. They make a mistake. And we find cases like that with, for instance, King Saul. When I think about King Saul, he's not necessarily one of those people you look at and think how faithful he was in his life. But actually, if you look at King Saul right after he was ordained to be the king, after he had been anointed, that he shows great faith in God when others were running challenges his being the king. And that was kind of like his high point. King David, that we read about his life. And right before you get to 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, it seems like David is at the height of his power, a height of belief in God and reliance on him. And then after that, it's never quite the same again. Well, as you look here with our passage in Leviticus, we find that in the last part of Exodus, it deals with the making of the tent of meeting, all the furnishings of that tent of meeting. And it mentions to us in the very last chapter, God dwelling inside that temple. And Leviticus, of course, deals with the priesthood primarily and the statutes, the things that the priesthood were responsible for, their sacrifices, the ordinances, the statutes pertaining mainly to them. And we find that in the 8th chapter, he had the consecration of the priesthood, the setting aside of Aaron and his sons. And as you go through that, you find in the 8th chapter of 2, it said, Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil of Boaz, the sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And all the way through this, it just reminds us that these were not perfect individuals, that they had to have their sins removed in order to approach God. And so God tells them how to do that as far as, again, what he required of them so as to approach him. Even the garments are talked about as far as what they would wear. Again, the 8th chapter, verse 7, as they put the tunic on him, girded him with a sash, and clothed him with a robe, put the ephod on him, and girded him with an intricately woven band of the ephod, and with a tie of the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate, he put the turban on his head, also turban on his front. He put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. He goes ahead, and a lot of times we read through this, and we're thinking about how detailed all this information is, and it can get kind of overwhelming. It's just seeing all these intricate things God requires. But one thing we should always remember is that everything God required of them was important. And they were expected to do everything God said, all the way to the clothing itself that they were to wear. And as it goes on, we find that the offering, again, for Aaron and his sons because their sins are talked about. And so they go to the 9th chapter. And in the 9th chapter, we have the priestly duties that they were supposed to perform in order to please God, and talks about those duties. And by the time you get to the end of the 9th chapter, though, and this is kind of the high water mark between after doing all these things of anointing them, of offering sacrifices, telling them all about their duties, it mentions us in verse 23 and 24, and Moses and Aaron went to their tabernacle of the meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all people. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar When all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. And there's no doubt at this point here that God was pleased with the offering and that it was kind of like the high watermark. Because when he turned to the next chapter, we read about two sons of Aaron, though, Nadab and Abihu. And in 10th chapter 1, it said that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took the censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, understand here that God has specified all these things as far as the altar and all the things as far as the clothing and the sacrifices and how to offer these sacrifices to Aaron and his sons, and even a point of where the fire itself would come from have been specified by God. And so when it said profane fire, and it goes ahead and explains which he had not commanded them, they had not taken the fire from the place that God had said to take it from. And so because of that, of course, we read there about what happened to them. And just imagine being there at the tabernacle meeting. And either as the other priests were around, I'm sure there are other priests, they had their duties also. Or maybe those who have brought the burnt offerings, or those who are there on a daily basis. Imagine as you're watching here, and these two priests go up to the altar, and as they offer the sacrifice, all of a sudden fire comes and totally burns them up. I don't have any idea if there was instantaneous death there, the shouting and crying as far as for a few seconds, as far as the pain they had gone through. But what we know is that they were dead, and we know that this here was God's act of judgment upon them. And so we think about this, I thought about this idea of profane fire, of offering strange fire. That's a lesson we can learn from this tonight. As you go ahead, actually, this 10th chapter, find interest, because after verse 2, where it talks about, of course, them being consumed, and then verse 3 said, and Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all people, I must be glorified. And notice the last part, so Aaron held his peace. And that last part there is my first point here, and that is realizing that individual, I have a peer responsibility. Maybe another way of saying that is individual accountability. And as you think about this, here's their father being the high priest, and again, the high watermark there in verse and chapter 9 of God being pleased and offering the sacrifice that God literally comes down, consumes the sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, here's the, and Aaron was pretty pleasing to God. If you go, Aaron had obeyed what God had said to do. If you go and look at chapter 9, verse 23, Moses and Aaron went to their tabernacle of the meeting, came out, blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. All this shows that God was happy with what they had done, and that would include Aaron here. And despite that fact that he was happy with them, we see here that that did not relate to what they had done. In other words, it was one of those situations where basically just because their father had been pleasing to God didn't mean it was okay for them to do whatever they wanted. And in fact, when they and Abihu died here, we understand that they died because of what they did. That they're being held accountable for their sin here, offering strange fire. And that is true throughout the Bible. All the way from the beginning of it, all the way to the end of it, there's always the principle, and that is that the individual is responsible for what they have done. Even to the point of Ezekiel, and they think chapter 20, it said, the soul of sin shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all sins which he committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. And so let's say you have a really good, again, faithful parent, and they have done what God said to do. And sometimes people think, well, that means automatically, you know, God must look on me with a lot of favor, that maybe God will forgive me, or maybe I don't have to be as faithful as they were. No. In fact, the Jews had this idea, and they were very pleased, very proud of their lineage. And if we know in the New Testament, they often brought out the fact that they were Abraham's children. And they were descendants of Abraham, as they would kind of bring out to us. And so as you look here, God reminds Aaron of his responsibilities in Leviticus 10th chapter. In fact, after Gethsemane fire, he tells them, don't you leave the tabernacle. Don't you quit offering your service to me right now, or I'll kill you, or you'll die. And so they were expected to stay there and fulfill their responsibilities. But if we go on, we find that the Jews, they were proud of the lineage. And you start thinking about how many times they reminded Jesus that they were Abraham's children. I mean, just think about in John 8, verse 33, the first part there, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. As if Jesus had no idea about that. I mean, really? And 8, chapter 39, it goes on, they answered him, Abraham is our father. Now, why were they doing that? Why would they keep on bringing that up? Because somehow they thought that justified them. They thought that that made whatever they did okay, as long as they were Abraham's children. Again, Abraham, as great as a person he was not going to save them. They were accountable to God for what they had done. And again, that principle is laid out to each one of us. Each one of us. On a day of judgment will stand or fall based upon our service to God, our faith to Him. Over in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 10 said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And you know, sometimes, and that's a very simple principle being laid out here. Ezekiel lays it out, and this passage basically is getting across the same idea. You know, and we may say that, but sometimes people just kind of start thinking a little bit different for various reasons. I remember, I may have mentioned this one time, that there used to be a syndicate of Calvinists by the name of Charlie Reese, R-E-E-S-E. And so just wanted to be that where we lived, they had that thing was talking about Arkansas at the time, the local newspaper carried his call. And one time, towards the close of the year, he had an article that I thought was real good about time. So I had at the end of it the fact of his email, that if you want to contact him, you could. So I emailed him. And I wanted to use the article in my bulletin. I just didn't want to print it without his permission. And so I emailed him and just kind of mentioned who I was and where I preached for Church of Christ in Tuckerman, Arkansas. And he responded back. And really just kind of a nice little email. He said, yeah, you can use the article. But he mentioned there, he said, my mom was a member of the Church of Christ. And that just kind of, now it struck me that he didn't say, and I am too, but my mom was a member of the church. And then a number of years later, I was reading another a book by Fred Thompson, the actor. And that book here, Fred Thompson, if you've ever seen Hunt for Red October, he's the admiral on the ship there in that movie there. That's Fred Thompson. And he also ran for president for about 2 weeks. I forgot what year it was. But anyway, he wrote a book about his life, and he mentioned in the book, I was reading through it, and also he mentioned that his mom was a member of the Church of Christ in Tennessee. Now again, nothing about himself. And I'll give them